Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's good, internet? It is Tuesday, June 13th.
Is it?
It's dark outside, given that it's supposed to be Tuesday.
Tuesday, June 13th.
Isn't it Wednesday?
At 10:30 a.m.
No, it's Tuesday.
I know, but it's Wednesday.
A.m.
Is it 10:30?
Tuesday, the moment the Nintendo embargo is lifted.
Actually, this might not go up until a little bit after. I mean, the podcast might be in the feed by then.
Well, you know what? My spirits are lifted, so...
Actually, the podcast will probably open at noon because there's a one embargo thing.
Yep.
It has to wait until noon. Don't you love it?
I love Ubisoft.
Welcome to Waypoint Radio.
Oh, shit, there is.
I'm your host, Austin Walker. Joining me here from Casa del Waypoint in Los Angeles, California, during E3 2017, Patrick Klepek.
Hello.
Danica Harrod.
Rob Zachney.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Just a little bit of delay on...
I'm going to lift the veil. I'm gonna let you backstage. I'm going to let you look, peek behind the curtains. It's actually before the time I said it was. We were all very tired. It's the end of Monday. We've just returned from a Ubisoft press event.
Huh.
We've just returned from the Sony press event. We've been to an Xbox showcase. We've done a bunch of things. But what we're here to talk to you about today is Nintendo, who just had their Nintendo Spotlight, which is kind of like their... Traditionally, they call those Nintendo Directs, I guess.
Well, they...
It's different. This is a little different than a Nintendo Direct, right? This is like...
It's a 30-minute video.
It's a 30-minute video.
Yeah, it's a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, that's... It's a Nintendo Direct.
With bigger games.
Yeah, you know what? Yes. I think I want to just jump right into what this was.
So you two went to a pre-E3 event where you... So like Rob and I, even though this is going up after, I have not seen it.
Neither of you have seen these.
Like, I'm aware of what happened through text messages, but I have not actually seen any...
Yeah.
There was a lot of woes.
Yeah.
But you two have actually seen, played things, and we'll be able to talk more in depth about that when Rob and I actually get to go to the show floor.
I think you and I both have some good quotes that really set things up, because the Nintendo Spotlight opened up, first of all, with like a... I wrote this down. Intro reel. ARMS, Rocket League, Pokken Tournament DX, FIFA 18, Millennials, Splatoon 2.
Wait,
lots of Millennials.
Wait.
Finally.
I thought Millennials were like a separate...
There was a moment when it was like, oh, peak millennial.
Yes.
And I think that was when they were boxing or kissing. Or there,
it was like it was a made-for-TV commercial, basically.
It was very good.
It was very good.
And then Reggie steps out. And I'm not going to walk through everything, but the notes that I here have is quotes from Reggie. The game is fun. Close your focus and open your mind.
That was the one I had.
Wait. Excuse me. Slow that one down.
Close your focus. And open your mind.
What does it mean to close your focus?
Focus on it.
Close in. Tunnel vision, baby.
Then,
Nintendo.
Open your mind.
I think he got that out of like a Warhammer codex.
The whole thing, like all of Reggie's stuff was very like new age hippie.
It was really good.
It felt like somebody did not turn in their speech on time. Like they
it
were
was
like
that,
oh shit, I got homework due.
It was like that blonde lady on Vine.
Yes.
Who's always like, to connect with your center, you must focus.
You must play Mario Odyssey.
But it was also, it reminded me a lot of an airline safety commercial.
Yeah.
In a good way. It was like a good airline safety commercial.
When you talk to Reggie, you just make sure that, hey, so, you know, one of those people at Waypoint, like, they had this compliment they wanted to pass on.
I really wanted to say, you sounded like an airline safety commercial.
I would watch it.
Like
a JetBlue. He was on a fucking beach telling us to play Super Mario.
Yo, he was. All right, so let's just walk through.
Wait, so...
What?
I thought he was there, physically.
No, he was not.
Oh, so
he was there.
He's physically
there. He was there, but he was on the screen.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. He lives in many places. Rob, it sounds like you need to close your focus and open your mind. I like that as an insult. Hey, Patrick, close your focus and open your mind.
I mean, that's why I asked. I was like, that sounds aggressive.
But he said it like a wave on the shoreline.
I think our minds are open.
Okay.
You guys indoctrinated at this time.
I also write Zoloft ad down, which is...
Okay, so you tell them both.
I will.
Okay, great. We'll see which one he likes better.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2, they opened with.
Yep.
Anime, sword girlfriend, cute cat and backpack. Airships, big snake thing, dragons.
Are these all in one game?
Yeah.
You're just reading your word vomit.
Just for the ones I don't really... Okay. I'm going to play that game. I'm excited to play that game. I like...
Have you played the other two?
I played something like Xenoblade Chronicles X because of the mechs that were in it.
Right.
I didn't play Xenoblade Chronicles because I didn't have a Wii when it came out.
But both have like sort of like MMO... I played like 10, 15 hours of the first one.
Oh, wow. That's more than I thought.
The MMO style combat didn't do a lot for me, and my understanding was the sequel also has
it does have similar like you're queuing up attacks.
Yeah,
there's some cool smart like tactical design around like
they seem like they've gotten more interesting and appealing as they've gone.
There's
along.
Lots of like this character is going to open up a setup for another character's attack to bounce off of and stuff like that. They didn't show any like gameplay combat in this trailer, but it was just like
big
story
stuff. You've played the previous games,
yes.
Probably
beautiful scale. Like the thing,
the art of those games have always been amazing. I'll say
this one felt a little more like I'm trying to think of the exact phrase. Like they're all anime, right? But they all have different styles of like sub anime, and this one felt very like shoujo, very like young boys anime, very like adventure anime,
which is shonen.
When I say yes, it's shoujo. It's 11. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like an anime for a younger audience.
Yeah, for a much younger audience.
Very good looking. The story seemed like it was good. They're like focused on getting to some Elysium place.
There's like a big tree.
Sounds very memorable.
Right.
We're going to move on.
Moving on to Kirby. Kirby!
2018. So, what does that mean?
So, I don't know.
Kirby and...
It's
another Yoshi. Like, those are... They make a lot of those games.
Yes.
The gamut of quality.
And I play them all.
The spectrum of quality.
So, before this guy starts talking
shit... I'm just saying... Like, Yoshi games are all over the place, Kirby games are all over the place. I love both of them.
I don't know enough about the recent Kirby games to know what this is.
Well, guess what? Here I am.
Tell me about the most recent Kirby games.
Robobot was the most recent Kirby game.
Well, and then there was the one that was like the battle thing that was like a sub-game.
The one that recently came out, which is just a side game from Triple Deluxe.
Okay.
That's just like you can play with your friends.
Is that like the ones like four players?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not
I
this new one.
I think it was Triple
one.
Deluxe or it might have been Robobot.
That's not this new one? This new one
no,
doesn't do
No, this new one is a completely new
and it's a
Kirby
Switch game.
On Switch.
Right.
There was no, that's a note really quick, there was no 3DS stuff in the spotlight.
Yeah.
There has been, by this point, some 3DS stuff in the Treehouse Direct that followed the spotlight. After doing the Nintendo spotlight, they go to their live Twitch
and sometimes there are some new game
and
announcements.
They specifically, Bill Trinan stood on the stage was like, you may have noticed that there was no 3DS, but...
Well, and in the embargo email. They're like, well, there's 3DS stuff, but we're not telling you what it is.
Right, there's a big 3DS game. We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I think Rob is going to see it later this week.
He's psyched.
You can tell. You excited?
Oh, yeah.
What 3DS game do you want it to be?
Oh, man. So difficult to choose, really.
It won't be Advance Wars.
I was going to say, what if it was Advance Wars?
That was the one.
They'd already said we haven't quite figured out how to make Advance Wars horny.
They didn't
there was
say
a,
that.
There was a Eurogamer interview in which they said part of the reason Fire Emblem is connected so much in like the last 10 years is like they doubled
Camilla's
down on the relationship
Camilla's
stuff.
Boobs.
And so they said we don't really know how to do that because that's not how we built the Advance Wars world.
Yeah,
And so basically, they
Camilla's
haven't made
cleavage, Starja's thighs. Like, that's it.
Well, anyway, so Kirby looks good and wholesome.
It
Speaking
does.
Of
what
not
kind
of,
like, what kind of Kirby game is? Like,
it's
what
a
does
side-scrolling
that mean?
Platformer.
Okay.
And
same as the most recent ones.
Like, style, like yarn style?
No,
regular style. And the difference here is that you can get people or get characters who are usually enemies to join your party. So you're like, you're sucking in those enemies.
Wholesome.
And they're joining your party, and it's like five of you like running around and fighting.
So it's
and
like, oh, it's you plus like instead of just becoming the weird knight enemy, you don't have the knight enemy behind.
So we were critiquing
Shadow of
War
this
for subjugating enemies and making them part of you. Kirby
Kirby is the same
fucking getting slaves too.
You're right. Slavery is a big subject this E3.
So Yoshi looked good too.
I'm sorry to destroy your wholesome Kirby.
Shit. Yoshi was also like a side-scrolling.
Yes,
Yoshi
that was game. In the yarn style, and the big thing
it
that
it wasn't yarn. Yeah. It was like crafts.
Yoshi was definitely made of yarn.
That's a direct kind sequel of. To the, he the like Wii U
was,
game.
He
though.
Looked like he was made of felt. It looked like Little Big Planet. It looked like Yoshi.
Well, so the last Planet. Yoshi Wii U game like is, was in that art style.
Okay.
And this one, the whole thing is that you can flip from the front of the level to the back of the level, where like there's an extra puzzle, or like to solve the puzzle, you have to flip the level around and go behind the scenes.
You're playing through like a screen, basically.
Which there was definitely a Mario that did that sort of 3D, 2D thing, but this is just like one 2D plane versus a different.
That last Yoshi game was okay.
Yeah,
those last couple games.
I'm glad they're making these. There's an audience for these. Support the Switch. #support the Switch.
Buy a Switch for your 10-year-old. That's what this is saying.
If it sounds like we're rushing to something, it's because we are. So then this middle section, I think, of this presentation became very like, all right, please believe in us. And there's a dev took the stage and kind of was like, boy, I'm relieved that people like the Switch, which is a really good moment. And then he introduces Tsunekazu Ishihara from the Pokemon Company, who says like, hey, Pokken Tournament Deluxe is coming. And also, a Game Freak developed core Pokemon RPGs in development for the Switch. A real Pokemon game, which comes hot on the heels of lots of people being pissed that Ultra Sun and Moon are not coming.
Because there have been long-standing rumors, like right when the Switch leaks were like coming fast and furious prior to the machine getting formally sort of unveiled, that like they were going to be unhand like Ultimate Sun and Moon like ported. It would have made a lot of sense for them to just do that.
But I'm actually way more excited for actually developed for the Switch bottom up that will look great.
Yeah, designed like, for the it's Switch. Kind of like the Pokemon. Potentially the Pokemon RPG that people have been kind of waiting for.
Forever.
Like,
which is like a
mainline console, like gorgeous, like... Yes.
And they've taken strides. To be clear, I actually think that the 3DS Pokemon have looked really good.
Right, but you look at like Pocket Tournament...
I
want
to see it on my fucking TV.
I got you.
Because you look at Pocket Tournament and like see like the graphics and they're like, fuck, put that in a Pokemon game.
Let me play that. Let me get that Pikachu.
So they didn't show any of that. They just said... Please be patient. Okay, that's... 2019.
They didn't even say that.
I know, I'm just, you know...
I'm not sure. And then he's like, and also, our E3 focus is 2017.
Right. Yeah.
And then from that moment, it went to...
This, not like, 2017?
Went to, like, who even knows?
Right.
Lightning flashes in outer space.
Oh, this was good.
The asteroids come into view. Laughs start coming in, like, through... Not in the video, but, like, in the room of people watching, like, no shit, fuck you. Like, that sort of response.
Yeah.
And then the 4 shows up, and Metroid Prime 4 is in development.
People, I am excited for people.
Yes. Kensuke Itanabe, I think that's his name, who directed the previous Metroid Prime games... Yeah. Is on this project, but that this is not in the direct. This is coming from Q&A after the event.
Mm-hmm.
Not Retro Studios.
Retro's working on something else.
Is it definitely not Retro? Because the question was,
yes.
Is it Retro? And he said, we can't tell you.
No, he said, Trinan said it's a new development team.
Okay.
He didn't mean new as in different from the previous ones. He meant like it's a new studio. At least that's how it came across.
Right.
Was like, this is a new studio put together for this reason, or maybe they haven't shipped anything else yet. But Retro had just shipped ReCore, right, for the Xbox One.
No, that's
who is that?
That is there are Metroid Prime original directors that that was Armature, I believe.
Armature, you're totally right.
So Armature shipped ReCore.
You're right.
Along with like what like was it like with Batman Blackgate and like some other like weird games.
But there were, to be clear, there were Metroid Prime devs in Armature.
Yes, core. I believe the core design team left to go work at Armature. Mm-hmm. But Retro is still separate from that. Yeah, the last game was they made Donkey Kong Country for Wii U.
Oh, you're totally right. Yes,
and they would be
Tropical Freeze.
They would be primed for a new game right around now.
And so maybe they're working on something else. Maybe they're working on.
I'd love for them to not work on a new Donkey Kong Country as much as I like those games.
How can you do
Danielle, don't listen to this.
Yeah.
Danielle.
Because they've already made two of them. Get a second team.
Donkey Kong, hello.
Cover Warriors. All right, next was
Fire Emblem Warriors. Yeah. No gameplay. I'll play that game, though. There were definitely moments where you'd be like...
Is it a Musou game?
It's a Musou game.
Is it being made by...
It's Koei.
Seems to have done a good job with those games.
And from people who've played the more recent ones, they have been doing some experimental stuff for what that style of game is. And just, like, hearing the main Fire Emblem theme, which I know for a lot of people, they can't even recognize that or wouldn't recognize it to hear it. But seeing that, seeing, like, Crom and Marth and...
Yeah.
Some other major characters show up. It looks good. Yeah. And like it did the thing like, oh, like part of my heart feels better because I see all these characters.
But they did a good job with Hyrule Warriors. Yep. Like it's someone that like doesn't totally care for those sorts of games, but like they did right by what that game should be.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Fire Emblem is another franchise that I really want to see on my TV.
So. Yeah, that's a good point. Totally.
Like a big plus of a lot of these are, oh, now I can see these games that I've seen on a handheld on my
TV. And they are doing they've already said they're doing that proper Fire Emblem game for the Switch, like down the line.
Yes. So. And again, that'll show up at some point.
That was fall 2017.
Is that when that was? Yep. Okay. So that will theoretically hit this summer or this fall. And again, they kind of said, like, our focus today is stuff that's hitting 2017, outside of these brief announcements of things down the road.
Which makes sense, because the big fear has been, okay, you had Breath of the Wild, and you said Mario's coming this year, but, like,
we'll get there.
Come on! Yeah. And, like, so the idea that they would be focusing and saying, like, we have a lineup of games, this machine is not, we're going to try, and even though we've promised this every console generation, we're going to try, and this was the promise of them saying that... Even though the 3DS still exists, if the Switch takes off the way they want it to take off, the 3DS will still keep getting games.
Exactly.
But yet the dream has been Nintendo is one console in which like they're both their handheld and console teams are building games in unison, which theoretically would then allow them to have enough software that's not the same as Xbox and PlayStation, but
a lot of first party, a lot of indie games
would then create a scenario in which like you would be very happy if that was your only machine that you owned.
Yeah, I need to buy one.
I'm curious. Because
what I got out of that.
We so often hear other platform holders talk about, like, we think that everyone's like a two-console household, and it's us and Nintendo.
Yep.
We've heard that now for a decade.
Yep.
And I'd love for Nintendo to make the push to be like, no, they're a one-console household. It's the Switch. Catch up. Like, and, like, I'd love for that to be their position.
It's the dream.
I mean, want that.
Rocket League, cross-platform, like... Don't need a PS4 anymore. You know?
Burn that PS4.
So before I'm calling my wife. Turn in the trash.
Before we talk about Zelda DLC, I just say the first note I have about this presentation of the Zelda DLC is Eiji Aonuma with a sword. Because there was that entire first part where like he just got a master sword.
A master sword and has it and swings it around a little bit. And
but that was for Skyrim.
Like Star Wars Kid?
For Skyrim.
It's not like Star... It's like, what if Star Wars Kid was good at Star Wars?
He's like, oh, so we have some new stuff coming to Skyrim. And he's like,
and then
where did this sword come from?
And then I have written down Zelda items in Skyrim, in Switch Skyrim, I'm dying.
I wrote down...
It looks bad, but
I wrote down Old Man Link.
Old Man Link.
So...
It's very good. And then they get into the Breath of the Wild DLC... The stuff that's coming soon is like,
so they didn't get into the
I'll
second.
Get there. They do. There's a little tease. Trial of the Sword is like a big combat focused shrine.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of a Pokemon gym in some ways. So you don't have you played a Pokemon ever?
Yeah.
Well,
No, I haven't.
Well, you get to a Pokemon gym and like it's like, oh wow, this is like a there's like. Sometimes there's like weird towers that you're climbing up, a weird thing. It's all themed around like an environment. Oh, this is the electricity gym.
Yeah.
This is the candy gym. So there's candy all over the place or whatever.
I love candy.
And this one is like combat. I love combat. Where like you're inside of a big shrine, like one of the shrines from the game, except it's filled with like little bokoblin towers and like little like the trees where they're living and like a weird.
Looks like an obstacle course, kind of.
Yeah.
Is it like built like you're like, you? Is it built into the world? Is it like a separate
they
menu?
They did not set up how you get to it.
About that.
They also showed the Hero's Path, which is the map thing where they trace the map.
Edition should not have to pay for that.
Totally. And then they showed the new armor, like the Tingle costume.
All right.
And Majora's Mask.
And then they showed off like 2 seconds of Master Mode, which is like the hard mode for the game. And the thing that they showed was so good, where like a regular Bokoblin was like, brr, or whatever.
Yeah.
To get back
What was
up.
That?
Brr.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
No more. That's really good. Recipe 3. If something impresses you, you are no longer to say yo. It is
brr-brr.
Okay.
He goes,
well, I don't know what this is, but
he has a horn. He has a beer. He's like brr-brr. Drink. He goes brr-brr, and then from over the cliff,
you take a drink every time you do.
I know, right? And like handcrafted airship shows up. It's just like a flat set of planks of wood with like four like balloons on the sides. Hovers up, and there's bokoblins on that platform, and like that's not in that game. Bokoblins, when they call for help, they don't just like get weird airships that show up, and then Link is like, "Yeah, I got you," and like pops a balloon, and the whole thing goes falling, and it's like, "Yes, that's what I wanted." Like,
so they're actually modified. They're not just they're not just going in, they hit harder. You got less health,
right? And then there's some other stuff where it looked like there was a great talus that, or the stone talus that maybe was healing itself as you fought it. Like, that way you have to really put the pressure on. And that's then cool. A big golden Lynel, which is like the kind of centaur
Lynel. Fuck those Lynels.
Fuck them.
So the DLC packs that are coming out are Master Trials Expansion and the Champions
Battle. So that's the second one, is the Champions Battle.
Get to the good shit.
This is the new one. And it was like, it opens up on Cass, the bird guy, the Rito, with the
musical instrument,
the accordion. He's playing it. I'm already like, oh, my heart. I forgot.
That's that the track he plays is so good. Even though like you go to different parts of the map and it's the same story. Give me that song.
Just give it to me one more time. So he plays it, and then shots of each of the champions. Like talking to, like out in the world, it's Mipha talking to somebody, and then it ends on a picture of each of them with Zelda in the middle. No Link. Link never shows up in any of the stuff there.
So maybe a prequel.
I want it to be a prequel.
And I wonder if that, you know, I don't want to look too much into it, but like, they clearly, like, understood some of the heat they were getting for not, like, letting you, like, pick your gender for, like, that everyone was kind of hoping was going to happen with this game. Maybe there's a way that, like, they head nod at, like, we get it.
Fingers crossed.
They also showed that they're doing amiibo for each of the champions. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to get those. I like those characters a lot. I already have a couple of the amiibo for that game.
Where's my sexy fish?
Sorry.
Can we end this? Is that over? Is that it?
Yeah, so moving on.
I got another note, which is, Reggie interstitials are killing me. And then I have another quote from Reggie, where booths buzz and channels glow.
What in the hell?
Real good.
Where booths buzz and channels glow. He was like describing the nature of E3.
So it was like a procedurally generated Reggie.
Remember a couple years ago there was like a Reggie bot character who was like a puppet?
Yeah.
Maybe he got out.
He wasn't there.
They pushed a whole bit around the like esports. Not really, but
Splatoon,
sort of.
Splatoon, Pokken, Arms.
Pokken, Arms, right. And there's something else in that set.
No, that was it.
There's something else in that set. Because it was four
tournaments. Not a Rocket League at all?
They did the whole thing where it was like, summer is like the summer of competition. At E3, they're doing...
This is all I have for E3.
Right, so Splatoon, they're doing a tournament like this week.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that with Pokken Tournament, in which I've written down influencers trained by pros. They're doing an Arms Open Invitational where four pros will go up against four E3 attendees. But they've kind of made the point that like this summer, each of their big releases, it has a competitive
thing,
which is Arms, Splatoon, Pokken Tournament, and a fourth game, which I've forgotten already, and maybe already came out by this point. Mario Kart. Mario Kart 8 already came out, and it was like, hey, we were supporting multiplayer on the Switch. We were supporting the ability to go and play against people in multiple different places. Rocket League, for instance, I think it has some sort of special thing that's like, on top of cross-network play, local wireless multiplayer, which it just couldn't have done that before. We're like, I show up on the Switch and you and me can play it.
And Splatoon actually has like a community. Like whereas like Arms, they're hopeful.
Yes.
Not sure if that'll happen. I'm skeptical. Mario Kart is very casual.
Yep.
But like Splatoon has like an actual thing. That's something they can build around.
And then Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which we all saw tonight at the Ubisoft event and played it.
Played about 20
minutes. So that showed up and they were like, hey, this is a thing. It's a reimagined twist on the Mushroom Kingdom. And at that point, we had no idea what that was.
Yeah.
Like, I went into that Nintendo event expecting Mario plus Rabbids whatever to be a Mario Party game or a mini game collection or something.
I was thinking
a regular Mario.
I was thinking a Super Mario RPG, the Mario and Luigi game.
Yeah.
That was like a pretty basic RPG, very simple and with like shitty Ubisoft humor.
Notes, Mario XCOM, 5 question marks, what is happening? And then as another note underneath that one, Mario took cover and then fucking shot a guy. what do you think of Mario now that we've played
some? I don't know how it'll hold up past the 20 minutes, like, what the actual, like, combat depth, like, the arc of that game will be. Mm-hmm. But I will say I was, like, pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed, like, essentially Mario XCOM. Like, I mean, to the point where it's, like, when you line up the shot, like, cuts to cinematic, like, yeah. And then, like, parts of the cover falls out, and some coins fall down, and you
looked at me when we got to that event tonight, you're like, oh, I'm gonna go see if I can get a slot with Rabbids. I was like, did you ever think you'd hear yourself say those words? You just left me.
I think that they're doing some interesting things with movement specifically.
Yes.
Which is, you know, you're running around a grid, you know, just like you are in a lot of these games. But you can, they take the pipe aspect of the Mario universe, and like there are pipes scattered throughout the maps, and then you can use those to like. They have this thing called a dash technique that they're calling, where you can kind of go up and kind of punch an enemy in the arm.
Right.
Doesn't do a lot of damage, but you can punch them in. You can punch them, do a little bit of damage, and then like go back into cover.
Right.
And then also still get a shot off.
Right.
Or you can go in, hit them, and if that kills them, then you can go back into a pipe. And these pipes aren't just like around the corner; like they're across
far.
The map.
I saw that in the trailer. They like span a ton of.
And they introduced like a really interesting strategic element that, again, I don't know how that'll pan out like longer, but like in those specific like basic battles they had set up, it was pretty interesting.
Even more fundamental than that, they have this bounce mechanic where if you put Mario in a place behind cover, he shoots around the corner, you can then go to with another person, and with any character, it's not just Mario, can jump off of that first character, can springboard them further, deeper in.
There's partner stuff going on.
Totally. There's almost like an assisted sprint thing. And then that person who jumps gets the rest of their moves still. So they can do that jump, get into a deep cover, get a shot off. And that is not what I expected. I expected like boilerplate XCOM, like the original, not the original, the first remake, basic cover mechanics, no extra movement stuff. But, like, that jump thing, Chroma Squad did that, which is, like, a not super well-known.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Game in which you kind of play Power Rangers, but with a tactical.
Oh, thing. I remember
and
that.
And they
game.
Did it because
those sorts
of shows often have someone like, oh, I'll give you a boost or whatever. And it was cool to be like, oh, wow, like that's a thing that's happening in this tactical game space. That's a thing that came out recently that from a small indie developer. I don't know for sure that anyone went and played that and got that idea from there, but it felt responsive to what the tactic genre looked like because I'd seen that before, but only over here. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Rob, you seemed a little less into it than we did.
Well, I guess, you know, to an extent, I wanted it to be more violent, really. If Mario's gonna get a gun, like, Mario's finally had enough of this shit. Like, just
Shadow the Hedgehog? Right.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you'd think with minions, it would get more violent.
It's a ribbon. They're ribbons. They're rabbits.
Ribbons.
Just imagine Mario going up to, like, one of the bad rabbits, putting two in the chest, and then one in the head, and walking away.
All right,
Mario.
This is not...
But,
so we moved from Nintendo to whatever else you guys saw tonight.
All right, here's the thing, though, is let me open the door for that possibility.
Okay.
I beat that demo, and so when you kill the rabbits, you don't kill them, they turn into data and go up into the cloud or whatever bullshit. At the end of that demo, you see the cloud, and it's made of data, it's made of rabbit data, and your guide, who is like a Roomba who talks to you, is like, it's weird, whenever you kill the things, the cloud gets bigger. That's not what it sounds
like.
There's no voiceover.
And my theory is, what if halfway through the game you're like, these blasters are just turning them into cloud data, drop the blaster, pull out a Glock.
Yeah.
And that's when the part that was like,
or like,
we have these motherfuckers in the ground.
Or like, I'm gonna follow these guys into hell and kill them again.
And kill them
like
again.
He goes into the cloud.
Yeah, himself. He's like, he turns the blaster, turns himself into Data, goes up into the Data cloud.
So he kills himself?
He's Data himself.
Persona.
It's like Persona. It's an evoker. He does say when he shoots and gets a... I don't know if he gets a crit or not. He goes, it's Mario time! Blah, blah, blah! And like, yes, good.
It's so weird to play a Mario game with like percentages. It's fascinating. Yeah. Like the novelty of it is like... I have to keep in mind, like, I had a very positive response to it, but I don't know how much of that is the... I do think they've... made some interesting design choices. Like, it seems like a well-crafted game, but also there's a huge amount of novelty to what it is. And, like, any of doing that for 25 hours, like...
Okay, here's the thing that did give me hope, was that the game remembered that it's set in, like, a Mario world, where the environment is interesting and, like, and goofy. Reacting and goofy. In some ways. So, like, there's a point where you hit a, you know, combat arena, and there's,
Chain Chomp.
Yeah, Chain Chomp is in the middle, and it's a neutral. It's gonna attack anybody. Like it's gonna if anybody's within this radius.
In my demo.
We may have gotten a different demo.
They said there were two different demos
because we didn't get one that had pipes.
Did you get the Piranha Plant?
No.
Oh, we'll explain yours and then explain mine.
So this thing is holding the center of the map, and it's going to attack whoever is nearest. And so there's kind of this you're trying to control the positioning around that thing, so that thing can work for you and not against you.
So like,
but it's within the radius of a lot of really useful cover points.
Right.
And so, like, what you end up having to do, the other enemy it's paired with, are these, like, meat shield rabbits who carry these big bricks. And they're pretty slow, but they move pretty far if you attack them.
Right. They get a reaction hit, or a reaction move if you hit them.
And so, like, at first I was like, oh god, these guys are really close in the distance pretty badly. But then I realized you could sort of kite them into the Chain Chomp and let that thing work.
And at that point, I'd also bought a gun for Rabid Princess Peach that did knockback damage. So I was able to knock one of them back into the Chain Chomp zone, or further away so that when it ran up to me, it would still be in the Chain Chomp zone.
Was this one, the third, so I think what they said was like, there are two demos in which the third combat scenario is slightly different. Was yours have any elevation to it?
Mine did.
You went through a pipe and went up to a second level.
Okay, yeah.
There
were
snipers shooting down at us.
Yes, okay.
In this Mario game.
This sounds very intense.
Very Mario.
Well, like in mine, like you face sort of like this mini boss, which is like you have like a giant piranha plant that's like weirdly melded with a rabbit. Like,
no, thank you.
And it can hit, it acts as sort of like a sniper and can like hit you with fire because it's really tall.
Right.
Like, even if you're in cover in like weird spots, like it can find a way to like take you out.
Huh.
It has like in the map, it has like four corners with elevation, and they had there are various sort of like crate variants in the world. So like there's one that's like that explodes and does burn damage to an enemy. And there's also ones that do bounce damage, which basically means like if you manage to hit that crate, it'll move the character X amount of spaces.
Right.
And so like one of the things that you want to do, and you get advantage if you're obviously higher and shooting lower onto a player. And so one of the things you're trying to do is like shoot them off, get up, and then shoot down. And so like the novelty of that in a Mario game when I got to the third match, I was actually just playing like a strategy.
Right.
Yes.
There's a moment when I got I cleared out a combat encounter in a way that made me feel really clever. Like I could go into details, I could talk about what I did and how I did it. I'm not going to do that. What's important is that this gave me that feeling that I get with an XCOM or with a Fire Emblem, where like, oh, I did it. I figured out the cleanest way through this encounter.
Yeah.
I cleared them in one round instead of two. I didn't take any needless damage. And I did not expect that at all. If you went back 3 weeks and were like, this is what this is, I would have been like, you're fucking, stop, shut up.
And it's made by Ubisoft, right? Like, not a studio known for building these types
exactly.
of things.
Exactly. So, good on them. I'm curious to see more of it.
The idea that I came out saying, I'm curious to see more, like, that's the bar that game needed to clear with me.
Especially given that we have another thing to talk about, and we just spent like 15 minutes on Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. We played Mario Odyssey, which is coming out this year.
We did.
It's coming out in October.
So they gave it a specific date.
Is it 27?
October 27th.
Yes. Which, like, that, you know, they have been worried about all year long was that the game of the year was going to get delayed out of this year and become next year's game of the year. And
okay, slow down.
Giving it a month gives them wiggle room. Giving it a specific date gives me confidence that that game is probably actually going to hit
in
October.
I think they're going to hit it, definitely. Yeah. It felt good. It felt...
Yeah, yeah.
So we spent 30 minutes with the game, like 28 minutes or something. They gave a presentation, and then we were allowed to play two different worlds. I guess, like, ask me, what do you want to know about
New
Mario?
City.
Did Mario have a gun?
No.
No, but he could possess bullets.
But he has a mafia outfit.
He could become a bullet. He does have a mafia outfit.
So maybe in the
What if they're kind of linked?
Right. He put on the gangster suit.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, what's this inside of my jacket?" And he "Oh, it's a gat." And then just like start shooting it.
Nope.
So, these are rabbits. So suggestible.
So one big thing about Super Mario Odyssey is they've turned Mario's hat into an actual character named Cappy.
I think he found that hat. That's a different hat. His hat.
No, that's his hat.
It's no, because it's the white one. It's the regular.
That's his 2017 millennial ass hat.
Shit.
But so like, I want to be clear that he didn't just. It's not like he's done 30 years of having this hat on, and one day he put it on.
And just started talking.
Hey, how you doing, Mario?
No, yeah, he opened his eyes because now, like, the moment Mario was like, "I'm gonna put on a fedora," the hat was like, "Mario, no,
stop."
Yes.
Whatever you do.
And then the fedora is like, "I'm all for quality."
Oh! God damn it, Mario.
The Florin cat's like, nope.
Did you
I'm working on a game called The Last Night.
No.
Mario.
No, bad.
Okay.
Bad.
Another big thing about this game.
Just fucking tipped her, for people only listening to the podcast, tipped her fedora and said, Mario. As like, as in m'lady.
Another big thing about this game is transforming. Is now completely handled by the fucking hat.
Mechanically, you're not finding suits. You're not finding the cat suit or the tanuki suit. You're not finding a fire flower. What you're doing is you're getting new abilities and changing into different, like, Mario's by throwing your tab
and, like, you're switching on the fly.
You throw your hat, you turn into a fucking human.
Well, that's one of the ones you can turn into. So, Bullet Bill is coming at you. You throw a hat, you hit the Bullet Bill, now you're that Bullet Bill.
So Kirby, really.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Except that you take the place of the enemy.
But no, so it's not another Nintendo slave game.
It's not a teleporter. It's just like the enemy, well, it'll teleport you like a few feet. Like wherever
the hat lives, you can become that thing. Or you can interact with something in the environment. You can use it to, you know, open up a fire hydrant and let water go everywhere, which might solve a puzzle at some point.
Ziplining is done. Ziplining,
you teleport.
Killing enemies is done with the hat.
Into a weird
fire hydrants.
Yeah.
Like municipal infrastructure.
Yeah.
Have you seen the mythical New Donk City?
We've been to New Donk City. Okay, here's an actual fact: is on the stage in Japanese, Bill Trennan and others referred to one of the levels as New Donk City, but in the demo, they only refer to it as the Metro Kingdom.
The Metro Kingdom, yeah.
Which is weird because it's not a kingdom, first of all. It's a city. It has a mayor.
The game is...
Oh, right. Yeah. This is one of the most hilarious things
the
you actually
The mayor
reveal.
Is Pauline, historic Mario character.
Yep.
Princess Pauline originally, right? Yes. Or she's just called Pauline, I guess, in the original Mario Brothers. She's the mayor of New Donk City.
That's a good pull.
It's a good pull. And I guess we should talk about New Donk City, and we should talk about what the levels are here, which is, they kind of said, like, Zelda Breath of the Wild is an open-air adventure game. It's about huge open spaces that are filled with things to do, but the joy is, hey, how do I get over there? Is there going to be something for me over there? And then doing that.
And it's not particularly dense.
This is super dense. They describe this as being like Japanese gardening. That was, like, the hugest influence for it. Very miniature gardening. Very small, intricate things that have lots of... things to get your attention and play with. If something shines, you should go to it, and there's something cool there for you to do.
Feels very Mario 64.
Yeah, even denser.
They put on the presentation.
But the same concept.
Yeah, they put on the presentation that it was they put, like, Super Mario 64 plus Super Mario Sunshine equals.
Is
less than.
Super Mario Odyssey. And what they specifically
were referring to. Super Mario Sunshine, still my goddamn heart. That game is amazing.
So what they specifically meant
sleep on Sunshine.
You have to get stars in Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
You have to get shines in Super Mario Sunshine. In this, you have to get power moons. And there are a bunch of power moons hidden throughout every level.
Yeah.
So they might be. So, you know, the video of Mario in New Donk City doing some jump roping.
Right.
That's a way you can get a power moon.
Okay.
Or you could find one in the trash can somewhere. Or you can find them by doing kind of like quests. Like Pauline was like, oh, people are really down right now. I really need them to like be happy. So go get me some musicians and we're going to put on a big concert.
Yeah.
And if you've done that, you get a bunch of power moons. You get more power moons or whatever.
And so are you like in Mario 64, you're like entering a level after a specific task and then you leave and then you come back in.
You do not do that. Stay in the zone.
Okay. Because you have to get a certain number of power moons to unlock another kingdom.
Okay.
So you're
power moons fuel your ship basically to another kingdom.
Yeah.
And they're called kingdoms because like they want you to they spoke a lot about the notion of being a traveler. The feeling of going to a new place, not knowing the language, not knowing the people, but being charmed by them. Right? They talked about how you know, one of the levels, the Sand Kingdom, is deeply influenced by one of the developers' trips to Mexico.
Mm.
Even said hola during
the presentation. He did say hola. That's true. It was
and you can wear a sombrero and a poncho in Mexico. You
can, and there are a whole species of being who have sugar skull faces on them.
Okay.
Mexico is a thing
in Super Mario Odyssey or Mario Odyssey.
But they did say that it's heavily influenced by travel, and one of the developers is like very into photography, so someone asked about having some of the capabilities like Breath of the Wild, like taking photos and games.
Yeah, I think it was like these are screenshots. I'm like, yeah, it's just a system level feature, dog. Like,
yeah,
okay, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You yes. But the thing that I'm still not, I haven't quite wrapped my head around is like, so New Donk City exists and it's sizable, but it's not big, right? It's not. I don't know what I would compare it to in size because it's not a level. You're not clearing the level. It isn't Mario 64 in the sense that. Inside of the levels feel like, okay, what part of the level am I going to go to do now, right? Which thing am I going to focus on? And sometimes there's like a thing, so I found a rocket ship that took me to a different place where there's a platforming challenge, which if I had completed, it would have gotten me a power moon or a number of power moons or something. But I don't know how dense it is in terms of time. Like, I don't know how long I'm going to spend in New Donk City or if there are going to be multiple New Donk Cities. Is there just the one New Donk City? Is Metro Kingdom just the thing we played and there's going to be... Yeah. 30 kingdoms, or is it going to be 12 kingdoms? Like,
that's what it feels like just by looking at the pictures, because like the pictures had a bunch of like snapshot style photos. They had like one with a dinosaur and one with a city. And
yeah, there's like Safari Kingdom, which has dinosaurs in it. Which...
I do think one thing that's going to take time is a lot of this stuff is kind of not hard to find, but using your hat, you can interact with basically anything in the level. And you will get up to a point that you didn't even know you could access, and you'll climb up, and there will be, like, coins, and they'll be leading you in a direction, and that could be something that's time-consuming.
It feels a little bit... I asked the guy who's giving us the demo, I was like, this feels like Korok Seeds to me a little bit, because it's about me being curious about whether or not there's something there for me.
Right, and then being rewarded for being curious.
And he was like, oh, not really. I was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, and there was a part during the Sand Village that was... The Sand Kingdom.
Sand Kingdom.
That was really cool where you're following, you're trying to get to this flag because when you enter, for some reason when you enter the Sand Kingdom, it automatically showed you where your goal was. It didn't do that in New Donk City.
True.
And making your way there, there's this part where there's a piece of a pipe sticking out of the wall and you go through it and you're all of a sudden like 2D. Mario.
Old school 2D graphics Mario.
Pixel Good. Mario yeah. going through and like Good. Ducking and jumping.
And... Right. And so that to me was the other big thing here, which is just like lots of mechanics that are used once.
And that's classic. Very, very, not even just classic Nintendo, but like very specific to this team that has worked.
The new Super Mario.
Galaxy 3D 2, World, 3D Land, 3D World. Right. Like, which they are very comfortable doing one-offs, where like they just something happens in a level and you never see it again.
That is also what the dev team spoke to in terms of how this game was built. They wanted to figure out new stuff, so they all did a bunch of prototypes. And they're like, all of these are good. Let's just make this good. these in there. Like,
this did you think like if it was like a bunch of like really dense tiny worlds that maybe you spent 45 minutes and an hour and a half if you want to clear it and do everything, but then. Maybe not, there are like.
I get the impression 20, it might 25. Actually take more than that because there's like dozens of power moons in each level, and I played. You know, we played the Sand Kingdom for 20 minutes between us, and even if you count all of our time together as a single playthrough, we would have gotten three power moons.
And I wonder, like one of the arguments I've made talking about and also one of the criticisms of 3D Land and 3D World is that I found the most satisfying, like, little tricks and things they hid in those games were by finding all of the bonus cards. Which you didn't have to do in those games. And I remember at Giant Bomb, I'd get in arguments with, like, Jeff about this, where he'd say, like, well, if it's not a requirement, like, why, I shouldn't have to go do that stuff to find the coolest stuff. And I was like, well, I found it really satisfying, and you also found the coolest stuff by doing that. And I wonder if with this game they're going to maybe find a better incentive for more players
to find that. That's my one fear about this, is I like New Donk City. You can visit our website at new.donk.city. But I don't want to be stuck in New Donk City looking for another fucking Power Moon after I've already been there for 3 hours. Yeah,
and who knows how many Power Moons you're going to have to find to unlock a kingdom, and who knows...
Right. My guess, the pace of those games has always been pretty fast. My guess is, like, you want to stay here for half an hour?
Yep.
Great, move on to the next one. But, like, you want to see everything it has to offer? Right. Like, you're going to be here a while. Right.
Briefly, just to touch on the Cappy capturing stuff thing. Absolutely intentional.
Nice.
Just like a couple of examples, which are like, there's a bit where it's like, oh, there's a Power Moon far away. How am I supposed to get that? A Bullet Bill comes at you. You capture it. You take over the Bullet Bill and turn it to go. To the area and get that Power Moon.
Yeah.
There's a bit where like they captured a Hammer Bro and just started throwing pans. And there's just like a really great moment of just like threw a pan. Through two. Through like 30. It was like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was really, really good to be like, I wanna see all the things that I can take over as the cap and like see what all the interactions are and figure out how to solve these puzzles and stuff.
And
like
the
that.
Controls, they spent a lot of time figuring out the controls for that game because they are encouraging you to play just using the Joy-Cons. Like just using the two Joy-Cons. Wrapping them around your wrist.
You throw
like this. You spiral throw like this. You throw up like this.
If you're listening to the podcast, Danica's doing arm motions.
Nope.
Because it's apparently 2006
again. You tip your hat like this.
You don't tip your hat like this at all, ever.
Anyway, they're encouraging Joy-Cons, and when people even ask them about, like, oh, well, what if, like... What if two of us are playing? Like, what if we want to, you know, use a controller, blah, 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 pro controller support? And they were like, well, there's going to be pro controller support, but...
We really designed this for
Joy-Cons.
Nah. Don't worry about it. I mean, so there's a couple of moments where you, like, you throw out the hat, and then you can hold down the button and keep controlling it a little bit. I'm good.
Yep.
I'll be all right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it just being a portable Mario. I don't need the motion controls.
The last thing I want to say is that it's the first time we've created a song with vocals for Super Mario.
The special song.
There's a special song I'm very excited about. I wrote down here La La Land 2016 because there's this moment where it just turns into a jazz ballad.
Okay.
Where a lady in New Donk City, I think Pauline, is being backed up by a jazz band and just singing about hats and this and switching... And
the best part of that song was that the two people from the Odyssey team stood up and danced very intensely during the spotlight.
Good.
Like it was a thing? Or the spirit moved them?
I think it was.
Is this in the video or is this something that you saw?
This was in person. I've never been happier to be in a real place in my life.
Also, they're going to be putting out some amiibos. Wedding Mario, Wedding Peach, and Wedding Bowser, which I love those outfits.
Like, really good outfits. They're really good outfits. The story, by the way, is what you think it is. Excuse me?
Amiibos.
Amiibos.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so the story is Mario, Bowser, and Peach, the three of them are married to each other.
That's not the story. That's not true.
They're all fucking.
Danica actually had me. I was like, finally, it comes out. Yeah.
The
true story is Mario and Bowser got married.
They're gay now. That's not it either.
Shit.
You can't play Zelda, but Mario and Bowser are fucking.
Finally, they're fucking. I don't know if they're fucking. I know they're married. I don't know what their sex life is like. I'm not here to judge.
I don't care about the story of Mario Odyssey. I really don't.
Anyway, it's Princess the same
Peach
story.
I'm bringing it up because Princess Peach is kidnapped, and Bowser wants to marry her, and they're very serious this time. They're gonna get married. Like that was like a point they made. It was like, Bowser's very serious.
They're on a ship. They're on an airship or something.
Maybe. I don't fucking know.
They're going to get married. Can I bring up the one question that was asked about Peach during the presentation?
Well, this is why. This is what I'm going to do.
You go ahead.
Well, yeah.
Someone asked a question. They brought up how strong women in games are becoming more of a thing and more of a necessary thing in 2017. Mm-hmm. And they kind of asked, like, how is this going to affect Princess Peach? Is this going to affect Princess
Peach? And so I actually have this answer. I wrote it word for word. And this came from either the director or the producer of the game. I don't remember what. And he says, so when you look over all the different games in which Peach has appeared, there are quite a lot of them where she's taken an active role in the past. For example, in Super Mario 3D World, she was a playable character. Mm-hmm. And I think I know a couple of people who love playing her in Smash Brothers as well. There's some laughs in the audience at that translation. We think of her as a very strong character, but some people do get kidnapped on occasion. To make the comparison, I am more likely to get kidnapped than she is.
I was like, It was excellent.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. And that last
clause. Yeah, that last clause.
I'm trying to figure out what he's saying by that.
I think what he's saying is, like, I'm a weaker person than Princess Peach.
Yeah, I think that's what he was aiming.
But I think statistically, he's actually not less likely to... He's not more likely to get kidnapped.
I don't think that's...
But she's been kidnapped several times.
She's been kidnapped a lot.
The kidnap and ransom insurance on Peach is through the roof.
What do you know about the director or the producer of Mario Odyssey? Maybe he's been kidnapped.
That's true.
We don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know the statistics.
It was a good question. We should probably move on to talking about other things.
I think we should probably wrap this up. Odyssey was the big thing.
That's basically it. I'm excited for it.
I can't wait to play it. I want it
to come out this year. And like, there was just this moment of me like, if Xenoblade Chronicles 2 hits... What a year for Nintendo. I don't even know if Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is going to be very good.
They dubbed it as Holiday 2017, which sounds like March.
Yes.
Holiday never means before Christmas.
Except Xenoblade Chronicles X did do a holiday release.
If it does hit, it'll be like the second week of December.
Which sucks for that game, because it'll get buried. But I can...
I'm not sure there's a world where, like... And, you know, Blade Chronicles X like suddenly becomes like a big franchise if it comes out like in the middle of September.
Last Xenoblade Chronicles X came out on December 4th, which there's precedent for that. What I imagine is just like, I'm 13, I've wanted the Switch all year.
Mm-hmm.
I get a Switch and it comes with Zelda. My parents picked me up Zelda. They got Mario. They got Rabbids. They got Fire Emblem Heroes. And they got Xenoblade. Like, whatever I want.
How many games is this fucking kid getting for Christmas?
They're bringing very good
Five games.
My point is, you can go like, okay, what type of kid is this? Is this a Xenoblade Chronicles kid? Or is this a Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle kid? They're both
so
covered.
So is this Austin Walker? Or is this Patrick Clemens?
Or is this Austin Walker? Because I'm playing both those games. Like that.
All I need was Mario.
I'm not the platformer guy. But like, my point is, I'm excited to be like, okay, 1 year in, where are the games?
Even if it comes out in March, if Xenoblade Chronicles X becomes like the capper on like the first year of Switch, that is a really strong lineup. Yep.
I'm excited about it.
Me too. That's not even talking about Splatoon or about ARMS, which is okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's going to do it for us for Nintendo. We have a bunch of other stuff up on youtube.com/waypointvice. You can also read all of our stories at waypointvice.com.
You can follow us all week at twitter.com/waypoint and facebook.com/waypointvice for E3 live stuff and lots of updates and pictures of Patrick, Rob, and Austin with cute filters on.
That's true. We got some cute-ass filters. Check those out. We'll be back. Again, look through this channel. Then also, every night, we're going to come back and do a live podcast that kind of wraps up what we did that day, along with some great videos from our incredible production team. We're going to go out there onto the E3 show floor and just, you know, check out some stuff and talk about it. So look for those. Until then, enjoy yourselves this week. Like, tell us what you want to hear. Email us, gamingadvice.com.
Post it in the comments.
Right there in the comments. Like, comment, subscribe.
I've never said post it in the comments.
Yeah, they're shooting this video. I'm pointing down. For people on the podcast, I'm pointing down.
Is there like some text below your finger?
It says awesome gamer.
Tweet us at Waypoint. You can find me on Twitter at Danica Harrod.
Find me at Austin_Walker.
At Rob Zachney.
At Patrick Clover.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.